This is a Gathering History Project podcast recorded in the Louth County Museum in Dundalk, Ireland. Now, I'm delighted to welcome to the Gathering History programme Dolores Gover. And Gover, well, the minute you hear Gover, of course, there's a couple of things that I will remind you of. I suppose most people would know Gover by Jerry Gover, who, of course, has been involved in youth soccer here in Dundalk all his life. And but we are talking today to Dolores Gover and Jerry's sister. And you're very welcome, Dolores.
Thank you.
And thank you very much indeed for coming in and talking to us. Now, we just want to talk to you a little bit about, first of all, do you think the gathering is a good thing for Ireland to get people over?
Oh, yes, I think it's excellent, excellent idea. And I think it will help an awful lot of people to kind of come to terms with the past, and, you know, and where they've come from and where they're going to.
Will it make them think about it, do you think, Dolores? You know, where people like yourself that's been away for years. I know you come home regularly,
yes.
You know, but there's enough of people don't come home regularly.
Yes,
it might
yeah.
just get them to come.
Yeah, well, hopefully it will, you know.
Now, Dolores, tell me, your end of the town would be a sided town that I, living or and born and reared up in Hill Street, never came down that way. No more the news came up our side. People kept to themselves. Well, tell me a little bit about where you were born.
I was born in De La Salle Terrace, which is near Castletown Road. And I can't remember an awful lot really about it. But as you say, like, it was like a little community within itself. Like, you knew everybody in the street and you knew, you know, within the vicinity as well, and you went to different places as families. Families seemed to be very close and did things, and they seemed to help each other a lot as well in different ways.
More so than now, of course.
You don't keep yourself to yourself now, but in them days, I suppose it had its drawbacks in the sense that everybody knew everybody else's business, which could be a bit overpowering at times, you know. But
now to get all the business from laptops and stuff like
that,
but they didn't in those days.
No.
Would you, when you look back at your childhood, would you call it a very happy time? And would most people in those days hadn't got very much money?
No, I mean, we all struggled.
Have you any memories of struggling in your house, or what is your memories of growing up?
Well, my mother my mother's name was Nixon. And there was a lot of them around, even now. It's quite a big family.
That's always that end of the town as well, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Well, McSweeney Street was where my granny lived. And my mother was the eldest of the family, and she had a lot of brothers. And they used to look after my mother.
So they would help?
Well, in the sense that, say, for instance, now, my uncles worked for, I think it was, it's a GNR railway.
The GNR,
something.
Yeah, Great Northern Railway, yeah.
And a lot of my uncles worked for them. And, like, say, for instance, if they got a bag of potatoes or something, they'd share it among themselves. They were very close like that, you know, with my mother and that. But my father was a dental technician by profession. And, of course, there wasn't a lot of money in them days for dental
and had he got a place in Dundalk?
Yeah, he used to work with what was his name? Tony Kieran. You know the St. Patrick's?
He was a dentist there.
The dentist over there, over the road. I think his name was Kieran.
That's right, yeah.
Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah, we have Jerry here with us in the background listening in.
And my father used to do a lot of work for him. So
And was that his full-time job?
Yeah. But in them days, you say, it's difficult to understand. Like, it was really a good profession. But in them days, people didn't have money for dental jobs or anything, you know. And if you were hard up, you didn't. And then in a lot of cases as well, my father did do a lot of work but never got paid for it, which cause a few problems.
And I suppose,
and there,
too,
you know?
When you think of it, Dolores, around that time, too, when I'm sure you remember this when you'd be at school, and this dentist or a doctor would come round and have a look at everybody's teeth and send you down to a dentist, and they didn't fix the teeth, they just pulled them out.
That's right, yeah. You didn't believe in preserving them.
No,
just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get some false teeth and you were all right.
What did you do as a pastime growing up? Like, were you into Irish dancing or anything at all
no,
like that?
No, I was always a bit on the heavy side for Irish dancing. I can't, to be honest, I can't really remember, you know, what we did. We were always kind of, we'd go in a group. If the weather was good, my mother used to take us to Giants' Quay. It used to be a train.
That's right, the Green Ore train.
Yeah, and she'd take the
whole. And can you remember?
My mother took the whole street.
Yes, that's right.
Every kid in the street went to Giants' Quay.
And can you remember being on the train?
Yeah.
The Green Ore train. Yeah. Was it an awful shame that was done away with?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. And there weren't so many trains, so you had to watch the times.
Yeah, when you'd be there.
So many's the time we had to walk back because...
The whole way from Giants'
Quay. You didn't think anything of it, yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
You walk and you'd be talking and walking.
Yeah. And you know, when you think nowadays, the kids won't even go around the corner for...
Go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were a teenager, what did you do? Go to dances or anything like that?
Oh, yes, you'd do that,
Where was the dancing places?
There was... I can't remember the names of them now, like, but, you know, the Gaelic League and...
Yeah.
There'd be them.
The Cayleys down there.
Yeah.
You don't remember down in your area, you know, that plaza place that everyone talks about, Indundalk. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
There used to be a place called, is one of my favourite quotes, I'm sure Jerry will probably know this quote. You know, there was always a saying in Dundalk, and still you hear it to this day, people would say it, you know, if somebody went to the plaza, it was round in at the back of where Joey Donnelly used to have his vegetable shop, round the back there.
Oh, right, yeah.
And somebody come home late and the father would say, "Where were you?"
"Yeah.
I was at the plaza. Get up them stairs or I'll give you plaza."
Is that right?
Yeah. And it's still a great dog saying.
You see, we all had bicycles in them days, and you go out the road to, there'd be things on Skull Hill, I couldn't think of it,
that was a great place, wasn't it?
And we'd all go out there on a Friday night and on a Sunday night
on the bikes
and come home on the bikes, and
no fear at all. You wouldn't do it now.
And also we used to walk out to St. Bridget's Stream. We'd carry bottles of water and sandwiches with us. Why we took water, I don't know, because the place is full of water. We used to walk out there and we'd take sandwiches and we'd sit up on, you know, the steps. I still think, sit on the steps. We'd bunce all our money together and someone would have to walk down over the border to get the wagon wheels.
Because you couldn't get them
No,
here.
We couldn't get them in Dundalk. And they'd walk, I don't know how many miles it was down that road. There was a wee shop. It was over the border.
That's amazing.
To get the wagon wheels, yeah. They'd come back, I don't know how long it took. And we'd sit on waiting on the steps with the water, deep the wagon wheels. And we'd walk all the way back home to Dundalk. All back in again.
Tell me a little bit about your first job.
My first job, I went to St. Vincent's up to the, what's it called?
The leaving or the inter.
Then I got a job in PJ Carroll's to get some money and was there for over a year.
And was PJ Carroll's, it was hard work in it, wasn't it though, Dolores?
No, it was dead easy.
Was it? Well, what did you do? What did you do in it?
I used to, there was a lady there called... Rosie Hurdy, I think they called. And I used to help her. We used to go around the offices. And there was like gratuity stuff, and we used to give it out. But it was a dead easy job.
And there wasn't bad money in it, sure, wasn't there?
Well, I don't know. And when you got your money, I used to give it to my mother.
And did you get money back? I got
money for the dance on a Friday.
Oh God, they were so innocent, weren't they? They were really so innocent days.
And
And what did you, when did you decide to go to England?
Well, what happened was I wanted to do social work, but I only had the inter, and in order to get on, you needed... In England then, I got went over to England and I got work over there. I worked in a family centre, and I applied to go on a social work course, but they said I didn't have enough experience, so I had to work, had to get more experience. So I did, I did about 3 A-levels. I got 5 O-levels and 3 A-levels, and... then I got on the course. I did my training in Cardiff, in Wales. Uh-huh. And I was there for over 2 years. And then after I did my course, then I got a job with Chester in a home for delinquent girls there. And then I got another job in Middlesbrough. So I moved to Middlesbrough. So most of my social work was done in Middlesbrough. Yeah.
Was that work that you liked?
Oh, yeah, I loved doing it, yeah. Social services and troubled families, family centres and, you know, things like that.
Is it harder now for doing that work than it was?
Oh, definitely, time? Yes, yes. In initially, it was like problem families, you know, and in them days as well, it took a lot of kids into care, where they don't do that so much now. It's kind of family. You work with families now as a whole, rather than take the kids away. You work with the family as a whole. Mm. But over the years, like, things change, ideas change, and, you know, you just go along with it, really, you know.
Yeah.
But,
and so that was a way of that was in the 60s. You went over,
I went over in the 60s, yeah, and I was lucky, yeah. I did all right, yeah.
And, you know, there were so many Irish people at that particular time. That's when all the people went over, particularly men walking on the roads and everything.
Especially
over
in
there.
Middlesbrough, there was a lot of, there was ICI and British Steel, and there were big pullers, you know, a lot of Irish went over then, yeah. There was a lot, there was a big Irish centre in Middlesbrough, but I never even got involved in that because I believe that, you know, if you're in England, you mix with the English and you get on with, you know, I'm not one for, I used to think, well, there's no English centre in the middle of Dublin, so if you know where I'm coming from, you can see where I'm coming from. So, I mean, okay, I used to go, but I never got too involved because I just wanted to be accepted within
and
that
community.
And, you
know, it was part of the thing at the time, wasn't it, that when you went over to England, you got involved
with the Irish Centre, But I didn't really go down that road. I suppose, like, the work I was in as well kind of broadened the outlook a bit and took me in down different avenues, you know.
And at that, when you were over there... Did you always come home on a regular basis?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I used to come home, regularly, yeah. Yes. We have so many holidays, and you'd work your holidays out. If you did a lot of overtime, like in them days, you never got paid for overtime. You got it in lieu, days in lieu, you know. So that used to help a lot in that respect.
Was it something that I know a lot of people who went away to England and further afield, but England in those days was a long place, a very far away place as well. Mm. But they were nearly saving from one end of the year to the next to come back for a holiday in Ireland, weren't they?
Yeah, I'd say with a lot of people, but it wasn't like kind of like that for me. I was lucky because I had a good job and, you know, and a lot of people, just lived for them 2 weeks every year to come home.
When you were away, were you always proud to be a Dundalk person? Did Dundalk mean an awful lot to you when you were away? Or would you have, like you say, moved on with what you were doing and then maybe later on
I moved on with what I was doing. But Dundalk was, obviously, my mother was alive and the family were here and that. It was always important to me. But I was able to leave that to one side. You know, I never had hankerings or anything like that. You know, I was quite happy in the work I was doing and where I was and that, you know. So I didn't really have that. Some people have an awful pull, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
I didn't really experience that pull at all.
And do you think, was that to your advantage in the work you were doing?
It was really to my advantage, yeah. Yeah, it was to my advantage because it gave you a broader outlook in life and it kind of helped you to, you know, keep going and accept people as they are. Because, as you know, in England there are a lot of different nationalities, even in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, you're just all mixed in together. Whereas over here, it wasn't like that at that time. It's different now.
That brings me very nicely up to the next question. Right. Is the changes in Dundalk that you have seen over the years? And I suppose one of the huge changes is all the different nationalities that is in Ireland and in Dundalk particularly.
Yeah, Yes, it is. It's quite visible as you move around Dundalk. But I think in the long term, it's probably a good thing, you know, because it broadens people's outlook and you kind of accept people and their different cultures and things as they are. And whereas we didn't have that before.
No, we didn't. And it took though, people like ourselves a long time to get used to different people, coming
See,
to.
See, that didn't bother me because I worked with all nationalities and all languages and, you know, didn't bother me at all that.
Yeah. When, what would you say was the biggest change over the years? Now, I'm not saying every time you come over, but we'd say from the time before you left until now in Dundalk.
Yeah. I suppose in a way, like the Celtic Tiger and that kind of changed things a lot. In a lot of ways, kind of people become more money orientated, and you could feel that, you know, that people's outlook in life changes as well, you know, like the
not for the good
not,
either.
Well, maybe no, not for good. In some ways, maybe, but in other ways, not. You know, but I think the things I like the most about it really is the people are more open and outward looking, and there's all this kind of cloak of secrecy is all gone, and you know, and I think it's really a good thing. Like, you know, people are not afraid to say what they think anymore.
Exactly. And young people who were told to be quiet when you were young.
Yeah, we were all told that. Yeah, you didn't have an opinion or you didn't have a say in anything. You just did as you were told.
There were simple days, but, were there good things? Which of those things do you think? Are there too much the other way now?
No, I don't think so, no. I think we're living in a great age and a great time, and it's great to be alive today, I think. And I don't have any hankerings for the past.
Do you not?
No.
And it's funny, you wouldn't be one of these people that would say, oh, God, be with the days when we were growing up, sure, they were great days.
No, they weren't great days, no.
But do you think then that people, maybe, Dolores, look back with rose-tinted glasses in those days?
Yeah, I mean, my mother, God rest her soul, she never liked to hear anybody talking about the good old days. She said there weren't good old days, they were horrible old days. Yeah. And, you know, I always think about her. No, I think it's great to be alive today. And I love life today.
Had you we're talking now about the gathering year here. We said at the very beginning, talking to you, you know, that it's great for people coming over. But have you ever thought of coming back to Dundalk and settling down in Dundalk and not going back? Or is England now your home?
It's rather difficult to answer that question, you know, because I love coming home and I love meeting the people and I love being here, and when I'm here I'm dead happy with everything, and when I go back I'm dead happy over there as well. I'm just that type of person. I'm home wherever I hang my hat. You know, that's the way I am.
In a radio, a good radio station, they would have Paul Young coming on singing that, wouldn't they? But we might be able to put that in there now. You never know.
And I think, that's.
What do you think, Dolores, about the whole thing in Ireland now? I don't know whether you know it inside out, but the Europe and this promissory note and all the dolls sitting all night. And have you any interest at all?
No, I haven't a clue what they're
They haven't either, but, you know, maybe by the time this goes out, we'll all be wealthy again.
Yeah,
but it is it's a different world, isn't it, though?
Well, it is. I mean, I don't know what they're on about with all this stuff, like, you know, but... owing and borrowing and owing and you know, and I always think, well, I won't be around when that comes through, so I'm not going to worry about the future today.
Now, can I just ask you about, I know he's sitting over behind us, but we're not going to talk to him, but your brother Jerry, who has been an absolutely wonderful achiever with young people in Dundalk over the year, his life, and I'm sure you must be very proud of Jerry. I know we'll embarrass him like hell here, but
I think
it's worth.
I mean, I have to say, I'm very proud of my brother. He is. He's a great man. Yeah, he's done an awful lot, and he is good. Yeah,
and that's all you're going to tell me about him.
About Jerry.
Yeah. Well, how many?
Well, he's a typical brother. He's always there if you need anything.
How many was in your family?
There was five of us.
How many?
There are four of us are living in England. Yeah, Jerry's the only one at home. Mm. Yeah.
And what was their names now?
There was Rita's the oldest. Yeah. And then there's Jerry.
Yeah.
And then there's me.
Yeah.
And then there's Audrin. And there's Constance, our other sister. Yeah, she's living.
And do you keep? I know you keep very much in contact with Rita.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And the other.
Oh yeah, we're always in touch, and that's. I think that's why we get on so well, because we're all miles away from each other. You know.
Could I just before we came to record this, we were talking about the name Gover.
Yes.
Could you just tell me briefly about, it's not a Dundalk name.
Well, I must look into it. I don't really know the origins of the name, but it's actually
there's great
S.
history,
Gover's,
isn't there?
Yeah, there's great history. The name is S at the end, really, which was dropped somewhere along
Gover's.
The line. Yeah, that was the original name. But, my father was from a place called Knaresborough in Yorkshire, near York. And he had just one sister, and she's died. But that was where the family originated from. But also my grandfather's side of the family, they were from Dunlear in County Louth, and that's where kind of the family roots are, really, between Yorkshire and Dunlear. But
But Dolores, nowadays with the computers and everything,
we should look it up. Really,
I'm sure you could be very, very wealthy, you know. I know Jerry doesn't need money, you know.
I don't want to. We don't want to be wealthy. We just want to be happy.
Don't you?
No.
We are doing this recording down in the Louth County Museum down here in Jocelyn Street. This is the first time you've been in it.
First time.
It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
It is marvelous. I didn't even know this place
did
existed.
You know?
Really, no.
And did you know what this was before? Did Jerry tell you what this building was?
Yeah, he did mention it, yes. Yeah.
You mentioned P.J. Carroll's earlier on, and it was the warehouse of P.J.
Carroll's.
And I always think, actually, the museum, which is here, the library, which is out the back, and the both of them, and we give out sometimes about county managers and everything, but they did a wonderful job. This could have been knocked down completely.
Yeah, and forgotten
and,
about.
Yeah, and what they've done is absolutely
it's marvellous,
wonderful.
Yeah, I'll have to come in one
so
day.
So you'll have to
around.
Come down and
have a good look around,
Dolores, can I thank you very, very much indeed for coming in and talking to me.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely great, great story. Right. And maybe at some stage that we'll get talking to you again.
Right. Well, that's nice to be here. Thanks.
Now, that was Dolores Gover. And can I thank Jerry for taking Dolores down to do this recording. And I'm sure at some other stage in time, not for this particular project, but for another project. He's a hard man to get, you know, to interview. You know, he's all very, very busy. But we'll get Jerry down some other time. But for the moment, Dolores, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Help us make history by visiting our website on www.gatheringhistory.com.